You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, yes, it is Sundays with the Big Fella. That is beginning today, and it's going to be a new little tradition. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN on Super Wild Card Weekend. Six playoff games. It does not get much better than that. And I thoroughly enjoyed watching yesterday, and it made me think just how much it sucks about how bad football has been in this city for as long as it has. But more than anything, it got me thinking about what the Jets need to do. How so? Well, when it comes to the head coaching position, you know, the Jets are casting an awfully wide net. Look at yesterday's games, and specifically the first two, to figure out what you need in a head coach. You know, we can talk about Josh Allen and his brilliance and how well he played, but, you know, that whole mentality in Buffalo is set by the head coach and Sean McDermott. It really is. And what I mean by that is you look at that game and it could have gotten away from them very, very easily, but it didn't. And that was a group that remained calm and hung in there and didn't let that whole worried about being collapsed, the whole we haven't won a playoff game in 25 years, the whole angst that comes with being a Buffalo Bills fan, let alone a Buffalo Bills player, didn't let any of that really enter into the fray. Sean McDermott, I think, is a big part of that with the tone that he sets. Then you've got the Rams yesterday and Sean McVay and what he has done with that team. And that Sean McVay was somebody that was regarded as an offensive genius, but has grown more as a leader of that team and has ultimate respect from players on that team. Has never been afraid to do what he needed to do. Wade Phillips did a great job with the Rams, but they felt like it was only so far that they were going to go. So they went and hired and took a chance on a guy like Brandon Staley, and it worked out incredibly well. Again, McVay, with a quarterback situation that was dire to say the least going into the game, becomes worse during it. You have a Seahawks team with Russell Wilson and one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in the game, with DK Metcalf, and a defense that, while it's given up a lot of yards, is still pretty good at getting to the quarterback and causing problems with you. They were never, never in any semblance of control of that game yesterday. And McVay's team on the road, while yes, there's no real fan presence like there normally is in Seattle, they go on the road and they hand them their first home loss in the playoffs since 2004. And that's about the head coaching. And that leads me to this with the Jets. You know, look at the wide, wide net that's being cast. And we're talking about going from Marvin Lewis, who in 16 years as a head coach, never once won a playoff game and went to the playoffs seven times. Never once won a playoff game. We can talk about younger guys who were being brought into the mix here. Joe Brady, who's being talked about, the Carolina offensive coordinator. Brandon Staley, who, yes, I just credited with doing an amazing job with that Rams defense this season that has gotten better and taken a step to the next level, where a few years ago, McVay's somebody that was regarded as someone who was going to win with great offense. Well, the Rams haven't been great offensively this year. They've won because that defense was very, very good. What you need is an adult in the room, but you don't need an adult that doesn't have the pedigree. So where do you turn? You know, the Jets threw out names like Matt Campbell from Iowa State for college coaches. They are talking about all these younger guys, the wunderkinds like Joe Brady. They are talking about Eric Bieniemy. They are talking about Robert Saleh. Those are the kind of guys that the Jets need to be hiring. Bieniemy, Saleh, because if you're going to bring in a coordinator, you need to bring in a coordinator who has done it for a long time or who has been a coach in the league for a long time. You know, you look at Joe Brady. Joe Brady, not 5 years ago, was basically a graduate assistant before he got to the Saints. A graduate assistant in college. You look at Brandon Staley. He was an outside linebackers coach in college that got made a coordinator for and 1 year in the NFL. These are not guys that you can put into that position. The Jets need, unfortunately, as Dave Gettleman put it a couple of years ago when they hired Pat Shurmur, an adult in the room, but not an adult who has just a losing background and somebody that doesn't understand what it means to be a leader. You know, we'll all look at a guy like Robert Saleh and understand that he can jump up and down on the sidelines and look great, but he's been in the league for 16 years. He knows what a winning franchise looks like. Look at what he did with that 49ers defense. They've got amazing talent, but this is somebody that understands all the different aspects and has studied it in a lot of different ways under good head coaches. Eric Bieniemy is somebody that, yes, is regarded as a good offensive mind and deserves an opportunity as a head coach. He does. If you're going to hire Eric Bieniemy, he's going to be a leader. Like, I love the idea of hiring Eric Bieniemy. I do. Not just because he can be a great offensive coach. No. The Jets have said it themselves. We need somebody who is the coach of the entire football team. That's what Eric Bieniemy would be. He'd command ultimate respect from players. Robert Saleh would command ultimate respect from players. This doesn't have to be about getting the hot assistant, because so many times when you're chasing after that hot assistant, that guy just gets too much hype based off too short of a resume. And all I have to do is point to Adam Gase. Everybody and their mother wanted to hire Adam Gase the first time around because he was the hot assistant. How'd that work out? I want the assistant coaches that are the adults that understand and that have seen winning and know what it looks like. That's Bieniemy. That's Saleh. That's not the likes of Joe Brady. That's not Marvin Lewis, who wouldn't recognize winning if it beat him over the head. That's not those kind of guys. And I look at games from yesterday, and it's easy to find instances in those games where these head coaches made big mistakes and made a positive impact, the ones that won the game. Frank Reich was awful yesterday. Awful. He's done a good job as a head coach, and frankly, overall, I've been wrong about him. I didn't think he was going to be one. A good one, that is. But yesterday, he was atrocious. Pete Carroll throwing our old friend under the bus. That's right. You know what happened, Seattle? You got shoddied! The Seahawks are so lost offensively, it's amazing. With the weapons that they have with Carson, with Wilson, with DK Metcalf, and all they are doing is chucking it all over the lot and letting Russ cook. Well, I got news for you. When you let Russ cook, it tastes awful. Because he can throw picks. And he does throw picks. The Seahawks are a running football team. Shoddy. Oh, he's done that before, hasn't he? Gotten away from doing what you do best. Wow. The point is this. Adults who have experience but don't necessarily have to be head coaches before. If you're going to go and hire the coordinator, make sure you are hiring the coordinator who has been around winning for a long time and understands what it looks and smells like. If I'm the Jets, one of those two guys is my guy. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We have got open lines. We are here until 2 o'clock today, and we have to get through all the games. We'll talk about all the games from yesterday. We'll talk about the Bills getting that win, the first one in 25 years. We'll talk about why the Colts have, frankly, an easy solution at quarterback that involves a familiar name. We'll get into the Rams and Seahawks. We'll get into Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Taylor Heineke. And we will preview all the games as well today with why Baltimore is going to run Tennessee out of the building, with why the Saints are going to just destroy the Bears, although you could probably just figure that out on your own, and why Pittsburgh is going to have more trouble than people expect tonight. Deshaun Watson to the New York Jets. Don't think it's impossible. So, we have heard about the discontent this week with Deshaun Watson and Houston Texans organization. We have heard that he was not happy that they hired Nick Caserio and they went away from who he had recommended along the way. Now, I think it's fair to say that no NFL player should really have ultimate say in who gets hired from a management standpoint. Sometimes with a coaching standpoint, you might bring somebody in and, you know, let them get on the whiteboard with a coach and talk some things over during an interview session. See if guys kind of mesh together, if they're on the same page. But if you're Deshaun Watson and you're upset with the Texans and you feel like you're not being heard, it's a much different situation. And I think that's what we're seeing with Watson right now and the Texans. He's somebody that is a dynamic player in the league. He is a top five quarterback in the league. He led the league in passing this year. He takes sacks. Some of them are his fault. Some of them aren't. He got sacked 49 times this past year. Second most in the league. But he was number two in quarterback rating for the season. He's somebody that is a franchise quarterback in every sense of the word. If you are trading to get him, he actually does not kill you against the salary cap because you'll end up taking a cap hit in a couple of years, topping out at $37 million for 1 year, $32 million the next two, after it's only $10.5 this coming year. This is somebody that is a franchise-changing player. The Jets will have never... Listen to what I am saying. Will have never had a quarterback as good as Deshaun Watson. Broadway Joe was never as good as Deshaun Watson. Now, I didn't see him in his prime. I didn't see him at all, frankly. But Broadway Joe, when you look at his career, it's not what this guy is. The second you made a trade for him, Deshaun Watson instantly becomes the best player in the history of the franchise. So, why is it going to lead to a potential trade with Houston and parting ways, with Deshaun? Well, it's getting worse by the day. If you're that level of player in the league and you have discussions with ownership about different guys and share your opinions and they have those kind of frank discussions, it's not that you expect them to go and hire exactly who you want, but you expect them to have open communications with you. I would believe that he would be more upset, not that they didn't hire who he wanted, but they didn't bother to bring him back in and have a discussion. Here's our thinking. Here's what we like. Here's why we're going the directions that we did. No, they heard him out, and then they just went completely in the opposite direction, and apparently in a complete opposite direction of what had been recommended to them by their search firm, by everybody. So now you have a quarterback who, according to Adam Schefter this morning, his frustration level has gone from a 2 to a 10. A 2 to a 10. If Nick Caserio and Deshaun Watson can't get on the same page, and the Texans are trading him away, the Jets have to do it. And that price is going to end up being 3 first-round picks. And if you're the Jets and you don't do that, and you have that chance to do it, you're making a massive mistake. Because, yes, you could say we may go draft the next Deshaun Watson and, you know, reset the clock on the quarterback and the salary cap. The Jets have no cap problems whatsoever. And Deshaun Watson, with his numbers through 2025, 2026, as a young superstar in the league, is not going to hurt you on the cap. Your cap is going to stay just fine over the next few years. You've got so much money to spend. You've got so many draft picks. You're going to turn around and trade away Sam Darnold that you would hope to be able to get a 2. More likely, you get like a 3 and a 5. If you traded away the number 2 overall pick, the Seahawks pick, which now, by the way, can be no worse than 24 and could be as good as 22, thanks to them choking it away yesterday. Then you tack on, let's say, Seattle's pick next year. Oh, I think you got a deal. And I think if you're Houston, if you're trading away Deshaun Watson, you're going to take a quarterback with the number 2 overall pick anyway, if there's somebody that you love. And you're wanting to reset the clock as it is because you're going to take a massive cap hit with trading away Watson this year. They take the big cap hit, not you. They do. I would, in a heartbeat, trade away 3 number 1 picks for Deshaun Watson. I don't even know if it's enough. It may not be. But look at it from Houston's standpoint. Only a couple of places you could really trade him. There aren't many. You can run down the list around the league about where you should at least investigate being able to trade him. There are a lot of places that wouldn't do it because they have their guy. The Jets are going to have the best package available to you unless somehow if the Jaguars decided they would rather go with Deshaun Watson over Trevor Lawrence. That's the only other deal that would be better. That's it. You have the most to offer. And guys, this is what Joe Douglas has done for you. I don't expect it to get done. What I truly do expect to happen is that Nick Caserio will try to play peacekeeper between, or peacemaker between Deshaun and ownership. But if that doesn't work and Deshaun wants out, let's go. Get him to the Jets now. and give up the three first-round picks because he is worth every bit of it. I'd do it without blinking, and you know what? You still have a lot of draft capital. You still have a lot. All that cap room, only 10 and a half against the cap this coming year. You still have $80 million. 800-919-3776. If the Jets don't get Deshaun Watson, if that was available to them, they are out of their freaking minds. Mort. Mort's killing us. Mort is just killing us. How so? Chris Mortensen on Twitter. Reports about Deshaun Watson's unhappiness with the Houston Texans are accurate, and sources close to the quarterback say he is still angry about the team's insensitivity to social justice, including hiring practices, after the franchise failed to interview Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy this past week. Sources say Watson could play hardball with the Texans about a trade. His new $156 million contract includes a no-trade clause, but informed speculation from a source is that he would consider the Miami Dolphins, in which Tua Tagovailoa and additional compensation goes to Houston. Let the denials begin, but it will be an off-season story, a puzzle of sorts that promises drama. Oof. Guys, you can't let Deshaun Watson go to the Miami Dolphins, and I know there's a no-trade clause in there. But wouldn't Deshaun have any interest in coming to New York? Maybe. Listen, the social justice stuff with Bob McNair and the dumb comment that he made, you know, the inmates running the asylum bit, you know, obviously Deshaun Watson has not been happy with that situation, and Cal McNair doesn't even call him back, and now they're not even looking at Eric Bieniemy. This could end very badly. This could end very badly for the Texans. And they have handed him the ability to determine where he wants to go. So if this fell into your lap, if you started to have these kind of discussions, what is your first order of business? It's exactly what we talked about with Joe Douglas before. His first order of business during this season when they kept losing was to make sure that Trevor Lawrence would have been happy and attracted to go to New York. That would have been first. Well, that obviously got away from him by winning games. Thanks a lot, Adam. But now you would have to turn around and make sure that Deshaun Watson wanted to come to New York. You can't have a situation where Deshaun Watson ends up with the Miami Dolphins under Brian Flores. At that point, with where the Dolphins are headed, you're talking about building a potential dynasty for winning the division if you have that player with the Dolphins. I know the Bills have Josh Allen, but think about that for a second. Watson and Allen on two other teams in the division. Can't let it happen. If those discussions start to happen, oh boy, get going. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Chris is in Manhattan. He's next. 98.7 ESPN. Chris, what's going on?
Good morning, Chris. You're right on point. I was speaking to your producer exactly about that. One of the things that I had asked him that if you could check into before the show is over, Adam Schefter sent out that tweet about being from a 2 to a 10. That 2 was when D-Hop got traded, right?
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't he say that Lewis Riddick was also in line?
Lewis Riddick was one of the guys that their search firm, Korn Ferry, yep. was recommending. Yep. Him and yes. a guy from the Steelers. Yes. You know, this yes. whole search firm thing to begin with, I've always felt like is crap. But nonetheless, it wasn't hard to find good candidates. And I'm not saying that Nick Caserio's not going to be a great GM. They tried to get him before. I don't want to do it because it's unfair there.
Year.
But the fact that they're not even considering Bieniemy, you know, like mm-hmm. the communication there sucks. That's very clear.
That's right.
They are not, as much as they handed him the contract, they're not respecting yeah. talking to him. They're basically telling him to shut up and play.
Yeah. But let's move forward to what you just said about Miami. If you're the Jets, you cannot let that happen. And you somehow got to go to Caserio with a godfather offer.
And you have to make sure that Deshaun is going to want to come here.
Yes, because I didn't know that he had that no trade clause, which is a good thing because then the Jaguars could have leaped into that conversation, and I can't see him wanting to go to Jacksonville. But cap space, I'm not sure about Miami's cap space, even though, again, this is not the year that they would get hit hard with cap space.
No, it wouldn't be. 10.5, like we
said. Yeah. But then it jumps to like 30. 35, 36,
It goes like this. It goes to the team that is getting him. It's 10.5 mm-hmm. for 2021. Then it goes mm-hmm. to 35, 37, 32, mm-hmm. 32. But for a franchise quarterback, that's very manageable. Right now, the Dolphins have $30 million in cap space, and they can do some things to create a little bit more.
You can't let that happen, though. You'll be playing for third or the seller, you know, for the first couple of years.
Yeah, and so here's
in
what's,
the AFC East.
Here's the problem. Okay, so for the Dolphins, if you're going to make that trade, if you're trading away Tua, you are taking a $14 million dead money cap hit, and you're losing another $8 million in.
Yeah.
Cap savings. In other words, you're not mm-hmm. saving, you're losing more money. So,
yeah.
But that's only for this coming year. So that's why they could stomach it with the 10.5 that Watson's getting.
Yeah, that would be interesting going forward. More, the thing is the jet package. Okay. Are you talking about the 2, right? You're talking about Seattle's pick. If I'm Nick Caserio, I'm telling you this, I'm wiping you out. I'm walking in the room talking about you might as well give me all of that. And when you hesitate, I'm letting you know, yo, I got Miami on. I got Miami on the other line. I'll be right back.
Yep.
So there's a, you might have to give up 3 1s and 2 2s.
That's a lot. Now, thanks for the call.
It is a lot.
Now we're talking. Now we're really getting up there toward ridiculous. It's a problem. You can't let it happen. You can't let it happen. But that would be entirely too much. Jerry in Queens is next, 98.7 ESPN. Jerry, what's up?
Hey, yeah, I wanted to talk about, you know, Deshaun Watson and giving up 3 first-round draft picks just to acquire him. I just don't – he's a phenomenal player, but – I just don't think that much, you know, picks would be good enough for him to play over to the Jets. I think they're just giving up too much, in my opinion.
You think, you know, 3 first-round picks is too much for Deshaun Watson, a franchise quarterback at a manageable cap number?
You know what? I feel that the Jets could still do some wonders with Sam Darnold as well. I mean, the first 3 years, you look at, for example, Drew Brees. You know, Drew Brees didn't do it too well his first 3 years, but then he became one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So I feel that, you know, the Jets should stick with Sam Darnold, bring in a really good coach, build around him and then use these draft picks to build around your quarterback. And then now you have over $80 million in cap space. Make a splash at free agency and you got yourself a good team.
Yeah, Jerry, here's the problem, and thanks for the call. If you have a situation where Deshaun Watson ends up in Miami, that's a disaster. That's a disaster. You know, I would not have been upset, still would not be upset, if the Jets went with one of the other options. Keep Sam, do what you said, try to build around him and give another opportunity for this coming year with some actual weapons and protection. If they decided they were going to draft Justin Fields, if they were decided they were going to draft Zach Wilson, if they decided they were going to trade back and get a couple of more picks and add even more to their draft capital, all of that would be just fine. If Deshaun Watson ends up in Miami with the Dolphins, say goodnight. Josh Allen in Buffalo, Deshaun Watson in Miami. I mean, it's not just one Brady in New England. I mean, that's two franchise quarterbacks in the division. And hopefully the Jets would get one. But you have a chance to get Watson at a reasonable number, and it costs you picks. You go and you do it. Mort is just dropping information bombs left and right. We heard about Deshaun Watson just a little while ago. How about this regarding the coaching situation with the Philadelphia Eagles? Doug Peterson's status as Eagles coach is not firm, sources tell Tim McManus and me. Peterson could be out if owner Jeffrey Lurie is not confident about Peterson's vision going forward after the two meet again soon. Lurie's comments extend well beyond, or Lurie's concerns extend well beyond Carson Wentz, per sources. Okay. Allow me to enlighten a little bit. I do not think, and I hope that the Jets, I hope they do not trade to try to go get Doug Peterson to be the head coach. And I know we're all going to point to Joe Douglas and there's that, you know, combination together and all that. And he knows him from Philly. Doug Peterson as Jets coach would be a mistake in a big way, in a big way. Doug is a little bit sensitive to begin with. And if he comes here and is the head coach of the Jets, obviously, we know you're going to have an awful lot of criticism, you know, being here, as they do in Philadelphia as well. He won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, and you could sit there and say that's a great, great pickup by the Jets. Let's talk about a few things with it, okay? Number one. The year they won the Super Bowl, they got off to an unbelievable start when Carson Wentz was playing at his best. He was the MVP before he got hurt that year. He was. If you go back and look, his numbers were off the charts good, and he was playing so much better than anybody expected, and they had a great team together in Philadelphia that year. And that's why they were able to go on from there. Peterson had a very positive relationship with Nick Foles. All of that worked out very well. And they got on a good run. I never thought they'd be able to do it with Foles after Wentz went down, but they did, and Peterson deserves a lot of credit for being part of that great run that the Eagles got on. They transformed, though. What do I mean? They were a great team when Wentz was playing at his best for those first 12, 13 games of the year, into a team that later on was kind of similar to the Giants when they won their two Super Bowls under Tom Coughlin, into a team that got onto a really good run. The Eagles got onto a really good run. They were not a great team at the time because, if you remember, at the end of that regular season, they were not playing particularly well. But then they got to the postseason. Foles played well. They got onto a great run. Since, the Peterson-Wentz relationship has deteriorated. Well, what's different? Frank Reich's not there. Frank Reich and Carson Wentz, that was the combination that worked well together. And admittedly, I'm somebody that a couple of years ago was of the understanding that Reich was not the biggest cog in all of that, that it was actually truly Peterson and John DeFilippo. And it turned out it was Reich. Reich and Wentz were super tight, and he had an amazing, amazing influence on him. You look at what's happened with the Eagles the last couple of years. I think the way Peterson has handled the whole quarterback situation has been a major problem. And I can tell you, in year one, when they hired Peterson in Philly, think where he came from for a second. He came from Andy Reid. He was the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid. He was somebody that everybody would look at the time and say, do you really want to hire this guy? You know, he's under Andy Reid. He's not calling the plays. So Andy Reid and Jeffrey Lurie were still exceptionally close. And there was a time in that first year of Peterson where people in that front office felt like Andy sold them a bill of goods on Doug Peterson. They didn't feel like he was going to turn out to be a really good head coach. Peterson's been good. I don't believe that Doug Peterson would be a great fit for the New York Jets. I know Joe would have his guy, but at the same time, I'm not convinced that it is Joe's guy. The way you would look at it would be that way, but I'm not convinced that's the case. I don't think they're going to go and do that. There are whispers about it right now, especially when Mort drops that information that he may not be secure down in Philadelphia, and it goes beyond Carson Wentz. If it goes beyond Carson Wentz, what does that mean? And wouldn't you think that if somebody was going to have a real handle on what was going on in that building with Peterson and the organization, that the guy that would have a handle on it who's not there anymore would be Joe Douglas? All I'm telling you is keep an eye on all of it. The Eagles are a disaster right now. They are. They've got the whole Wentz mess. Howie Roseman misses Douglas in the worst way. That's why the Jets have the right guy here in place. But don't go and bring in Peterson if it's going badly down in Philadelphia. And you know what happened when they won the Super Bowl. Yes, you won the Super Bowl. Deserves credit for that. But understand that they were a much different team when Frank Reich departed. And they were a much different team because the quarterback situation was a disaster and Peterson was handling it terribly. So when you hear Mort say something like Jeffrey Lurie's concerns extend well beyond Carson Wentz when it comes to Doug Peterson, stay away. Stay far away. Don't do it. 800-919-3776. Tony in Bayonne, New Jersey is next. 98.7 ESPN. Tony.
How you doing, Chris? So I'm watching this Eagle-Redskin game, and when he makes the move, the quarterback change, as a Giant fan, I wasn't even thinking he's screwing the Giants. What I'm thinking is that this guy made this all about him, almost like a Greg Popovich move. He even said it after the game, it was all my decision. He took the playoff scenario of, you know, Washington winning it in. If they lose, he took the air out of the ball for that. And he put the quarterback in saying, I don't care about any of that. I want to see my quarterback. And I'm just curious. Nobody really ever talked about that, like why he actually did it.
Well, I mean, listen, I think that you, with Peterson taking the air out of the ball at that point, I just don't think that you can turn to a guy like this. And, you know, I know you made the point that he's acting like Popovich, but, I mean, I just think Doug is someone that is not as good of a head coach as it might look.
Well, do you think he was trying to screw the Giants, though?
No, I don't. Listen, when it comes to that, who cares about screwing the Giants? I mean, you need to get past that. What that was about was not screwing the Giants. What that was about was doing what was best for the Eagles in that situation. And if you think that if you think that Doug Peterson on his own made the decision to not play Jalen Hurts late in that game, made the decision to do what they did, you're nuts. He was told what to do later in that game. They didn't want to get Jalen Hurts banged up any further, but they wanted to get him his reps. And I'm sure they didn't mind going from number 9 to number 6 overall. They're doing it. Listen, they have no responsibility to the Giants whatsoever in that situation. They have a responsibility to themselves. It was not history on the line like when the Giants faced the Patriots and they were undefeated in week 17 back in 2007. I got a little bit lost in there because I'm reading some of this Peterson stuff too, and they're suggesting, you know, trading him for a pick. Oh my God, this would be the worst thing that you could possibly do. Don't do this. Mike in Westchester has been patient. Mike, sorry it took so long to get to you, buddy. What's going on?
It's all good, Chris. It's a pleasure to be on with you, a longtime fan.
My pleasure. I appreciate that. What's going on?
You got a little ahead in this segment, but I want to talk about Sam Darnold, my man.
Okay.
Can't give up on him. We got to build around Sam. We got the draft picks. We got Mekhi Becton. He's protecting them on the left side. Let's get somebody strong on the right side. Let's get the run game going. Let's get back to Jet football. Ground and pound. Play some tough defense. Get some attitude back in New York. This is New York City, Chris. You know we're the best city out there, baby.
I understand that. But why do you 100% believe that Sam's going to be the guy?
The kid's got potential. If we go back to the Broncos game, that run he did, the 50-yard run against the Broncos, the kid got talent. The arm is there. We just got to get a good system. We got to trust each other, big trust. We got to stay in New York, build around the kid.
Hey, Mike, listen, you can make some actual points in there that I'd buy into, but you didn't. And no offense. The problem here is if you want to try to sell me on Darnold, it's not about system. It's not about any of that. It's about the players who are going to be around him. It's about believing that he is somebody that is fixable because after 3 years, he has taken an absolute beating mentally and physically and has to be basically rebuilt like the $6 million man. Except, you know, it's going to be like $25 million if you're picking up the option on him beyond that. You have to understand that if you're going to do that, you are trusting in everything else to be perfect around him. I believe Sam is somebody on that third tier that could win if everything around him was perfect, if he had a good defense, if his offensive line was solid, if he had great weapons around him, if they had a good running game. I think Sam's that guy. I'm not saying he's Trent Dilfer, but I'm saying he's a third-tier type of quarterback, a good quarterback. I think Sam might be Ryan Tannehill. That's not what I want for the Jets. That's not what I want for the Jets. And if that's what the ceiling is, it's not good enough. I'm sorry. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Doug Peterson to the Jets. Whew. Guys, I know he won a Super Bowl. I know it. I'm just telling you. This has not been the greatest leader of men down the turnpike. It has not been. A Philly castoff. And when I, again, read between the lines and comments. When an owner lets it leak that he has real concerns that extend well beyond the quarterback, that makes me think, all right, is it the team? Is it how he handles other players? Is it off the field stuff? Like, what is it? I just got to take a hard look at that. And if I'm Joe Douglas here, I have the best chance of anybody of knowing what's really going on there because I saw it for a few years. I haven't been there in a year and a half or so, but I would think I could get some pretty good information out of the building. Don't trade for him. Don't trade for him. Don't trade for him. Don't do it. 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 By all means, be a part of the show via Twitter, at Chris Carlin, at C-H-R-A-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. And we have just a few people who have chosen to do that today. Let's give you a couple of them, including, let's see, Edison Norford on Twitter. Texans would probably take a first round, a third round pick, and Sam. No, 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 they wouldn't. Why? For a few different reasons. Number one, they don't want Sam Darnold. If they are getting a first round pick, it's going to be the second overall pick, and they would want that to draft a quarterback. Number two, a first and a third and Sam isn't nearly enough for a franchise quarterback who led the league in passing yards this year, who completed 70% of his passes, did all of that with the second highest quarterback rating in the league when he got sacked the second most in the league. He had absolutely no rushing attack. He had his wide receiver, the best in the league, traded before the season for virtually nothing. He lost another great wide receiver for him in Will Fuller for five games because he got hit for PEDs like a dumbass. He was without Randall Cobb for six games, and he accomplished all of that and on a team that was bad and he had no help on. And by the way, he was the fifth leading rusher among quarterbacks in the NFL this season, even though his team was the second worst rushing team in all of the NFL. So yeah, they're going to want more than a first, a third, and Sam. Don, Daytona Don 3, to be exact. Have you ever heard of someone named Joe Namath? Heard he was pretty good, but I could be wrong. That's in reference to me saying that he would immediately be the best player in franchise history. Let's be clear about what I said. Deshaun Watson is better than Joe Namath ever was. Deshaun Watson would immediately become the best player in franchise history. I don't care about Darrell Revis. This is the best player in franchise history if you trade for him right now. It is. It is. Darrell Revis is the best player in franchise history right now. But if you trade for Deshaun Watson, he's better than Joe. Let's call this what it is with Joe. And I love Joe Namath, all right? Joe's in the Hall of Fame because he made a guarantee and they won the game. And it was the single biggest upset in the league's history. Okay? He had some great seasons, but he had some horrible seasons too. Joe was throwing that ball around all over the place and didn't care what uniform they were wearing, all right? Joe threw 50 more interceptions in his career. 5-0. 50 more interceptions in his career than touchdowns. 50! Joe's in the Hall of Fame for one reason. He made a guarantee and they won the game. And he didn't turn it over in that game. Nice job, Joe. 800-919-3776. Dave in Edison, very patient. Dave, what do you got? Go.
Hey, listen, I think that Jets fans are more concerned about the Patriots signing, getting Deshaun Watson. They're talking about giving out three first-rounders. Nick Caserio was there for 20 years. He knows their personnel inside out.
But the problem here is does Deshaun remember, now Deshaun has a no-trade clause, does he want to go play for Bill Belichick in New England? I mean, that's not a 100% given.
Yeah, but if he, it doesn't really matter. Caserio could put together the package. They could trade him. Does he have a no-trade clause to New England?
He has a no-trade clause, period. In other words, wherever he gets traded to, he has to agree to the trade.
Gotcha.
So that's the issue. Now, the thought is that Chris Mortensen reported earlier today that he would potentially be open to a trade to the Dolphins. And if the Dolphins are going to send Tua back, you know, and picks as well. I mean, think about that. The Dolphins could send Tua back and give the Texans their own pick back from this year in the god-awful Laramie Tunsil trade.
Right. Yeah, the Dolphins made a big mistake not picking Herbert instead of Tua. They were in love with Tua, and Herbert turned out to be more what they were looking for. So you might be right.
Well, in year one, it doesn't look good. But let's give it a little bit of a break with Tua. He still is somebody that was extremely successful in college, and he could be just as successful in the pros. We don't know that yet. Some guys just take longer than others. Next year, if you get through the end of next year and you still don't feel good about it, that's when you have some real concerns.
Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
No problem, Dave. Let's hit Jim in Manhattan next on 98.7 ESPN. James, go for me. What do you got?
Chris, how you doing?
I'm outstanding, Jim.
I tell you, Chris, you pick up Watson. He's coming to a team with weaknesses all over the field on all sides of the ball. Very weak team. I would trade the second pick, try to get multiple picks like the Eagles' Carson Wentz trade, add that to all the picks I have now, and build up an entire team. And I try to get a good veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan, Stafford, or Fitzpatrick.
You know, Matthew Stafford's an interesting name. Let's talk about that for a second. I don't want to dismiss all of what you said. Matthew Stafford's an interesting name to trade for because he actually probably wouldn't cost all that much. And there are a lot of people in the league that still feel like he's a top 10 quarterback. But to me, you'd have to go and get Matthew Stafford if you had everything else in place already. The Jets have a lot of draft capital. And believe it or not, all right, you trade away 3 first-round picks for somebody like Watson, that's a lot to give up. But it solves a major problem, and it gives you flexibility at the most important position on the field for the next 5 years. And he's also someone that is going to be a top 3 to 4 player in the league for the next 5 years at least, if not the next 10.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, I like the idea of having an entire strong team. You might be able to get Stafford.
This doesn't preclude that. You still have a lot of picks. You still have a lot of picks, and you have a ton of cap room.
Oh, I'm just saying you might be able to get Stafford, who has very good stats, for giving up very little. Maybe Detroit wants. You wouldn't even let me talk. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you could get Stafford without giving up a lot. Then you might be able to do a salary dump off of Detroit. He's a very quality quarterback. He may not be as good as Watson. Give me a whole big team already. We always have a weak team, and they're constantly bringing in new first-round quarterbacks. So that's my point of view.
Hey, listen, I understand it. Thanks for the call. Stafford is signed through 2022. So he's got 2 more years left on his contract. He's... I don't know how exactly it's going to affect the Jets cap if you were to bring him in, but he's an interesting guy. He's a guy that you shouldn't dismiss, but he's not option number one to me. I mean, Watson, how often is it that a player of Deshaun Watson's age and ability becomes available via trade, a quarterback? The answer is never, never. So why wouldn't I do my best to take advantage of that? I'd be stupid not to. I'd be absolutely stupid not to. 800-919-3776. Speaking of which, I teased this earlier where it does make sense for Sam Darnold to go, and it's not San Francisco. There's another spot as well. And all the games, we can preview those. We'll discuss what's coming up here at 1 o'clock with ESPN, with the Ravens and the Titans game, and why Lamar Jackson's going to absolutely light it up today. And we will also get into the games from yesterday and some baseball as well. Open lines. The Jets cannot hire Doug Peterson or trade for him. That would be a mess. A mess. Can't do it. It is not a good fit. 800-919-3776. Carlin at 1241, 98.7 ESPN, urging you to spend some more time with me. 11 a.m. tomorrow, Francisco Lindor press conference. Get him introduced to New York, so you will hear from him all day tomorrow throughout the day. Looking forward to that. And if one sneeze there. Wait. Hang on. The double sneeze. Again, a killer. Absolute killer. Anyway, I'm a double sneezer. I'm a two-time sneezer. That's just the way it works. I'm hitting the button to save you from having to hear it. But as I've told you before, my wife describes it like it's Monica Seles returning serve. Achoo! That's basically accurate. Anyway, Lindor getting introduced tomorrow, and there's been a lot of talk about Chris Bryant and the Mets. Now, Chris Bryant is probably going to make in the neighborhood of 20-some million dollars this coming year. The earliest he can be a free agent is after the 2022 season. The next 2 years, he is under team control because, believe it or not, he's only got like 4.1 years of service time in there already. And as we know, you have to have six to be a free agent. So the issue with Chris Bryant, you know, coming to the Mets, how good do you feel about his ability to stay healthy? You know, because I think Bryant, we know that when he's healthy, he's going to be a dynamic player. He's going to be somebody that is going to have an OPS over 900 because we've seen that. But this past year, injuries bothered him. What happened? You know, he hit 206 and barely did anything, played in only 34 games. 2 years ago, missed 55, 60 games in 2018. Had a down year from a power standpoint, only 13 homers. When the guy's healthy, he's very, very, very good. He's going to drive in runs. He's going to score runs. He's going to hit home runs. Is Chris Bryant worth it for the Mets at this point? All right, so he's going to make something in the neighborhood of $20 million. If the Mets are not going to spend that money on George Springer and they're going to spend it on Chris Bryant, what does that mean? Well, it means that they're going to get the Cubs to take somebody back in that deal. And that guy would likely, at least in my mind, the most logical guy to get rid of if you're getting rid of money is probably Jeurys Familia. You know, I mean, he's making 11.7 this coming year, so it helps even it out a little bit. Not even, but, you know, it makes it down to where you're hit for this coming year is $9 million, and then the year after, if he has a big year, it's probably like $25. But if the Mets are going to go and trade for Chris Bryant, which Andy Martino said that had actually broken down a couple of weeks ago, even though we've heard it pop back up here, if that happens, you're getting an excellent player when healthy. But which Chris Bryant are you getting? And you're going to have him for 2 years. Hopefully you get some relief in return, if you're trading for him for this year, but are you going to be able to get it beyond that? I think this is a risk that would be worth taking because it for this coming year, if you take him and you don't get any salary relief and it's prospects or whatever, then you're at that luxury tax number, and the Mets are not going over that, and they want other things to do. So they're going to get the Cubs to take somebody back. But to me, that is absolutely worth the risk. Even though his career has been a seesaw, I would still give it a shot because I think he's a dynamic player when healthy. This is not like taking on, Giancarlo Stanton. This is not like deciding whether or not you're going to pay Aaron Judge. This is 2 years you've got with Bryant before you're making a decision on anything. And that's easy enough. And if you're not giving up a ton in terms of the prospects in return and you're getting some relief with Familia, then yeah, I would absolutely go and do it if I were the Mets. We've got so much football to talk about as well. The Jets and their head coaching situation, as fluid as it is. Myself, I'm a guy that would opt for the Robert Salas of the world, the Eric Bieniemies of the world, because I want somebody, if I'm going to hire an assistant coach or a coordinator, I want somebody that is not skyrocketing up boards like Joe Brady or like the Rams defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, that is, you know, coming out of nowhere and a guy that 2-3 years ago was a linebackers coach in college. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to let Joe Brady, who in 2015 was basically a GA, come and be my head coach, because I need somebody. When Dave Gettleman talked about the adult in the room back in the day, I don't want Pat Shurmur, but I do want somebody that has been around the league for a long time and is not necessarily 30 years old. I think for the Jets, that's not the ideal situation. You know, Sean McVay was a wunderkind, and he's turned out to be he's an excellent head coach, and not just because he's great offensively. He took a chance on a guy like Staley and brought him over and made him his coordinator, but he saw that as a fit for his team. And they're a team that right now, they won yesterday because their defense was outstanding. So when you're trying to go and find the next Sean McVay, you got to remember, sometimes you can't. You got to go find your guy. Your guy. And if you hire Bieniemy, all of a sudden, if you wanted to make that Deshaun Watson trade, that's a whole lot more attractive to Watson. Remember, he's got a no-trade clause. And there are already rumblings that Miami might be a place that he would end up. That the Dolphins could trade away Tua and maybe give the Texans back their pick that they traded in the Tumsil deal and try to go do that. And then all of a sudden, the Jets are dealing with both Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson in the division. You can't let that happen. Eddie is in New Jersey. He's been patient. Eddie, you're next. 98.7 ESPN. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Eddie. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I just have a quick question and I'll get off. I just want to know, what happened to Marcus Mariota?
He's the backup with the Raiders.
Right. Is he still an NFL quarterback? And if not, why? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. I think that Marcus Mariota is a backup quarterback in the league and a good backup quarterback in the league. I don't think Marcus Mariota is, unfortunately, somebody that you could win consistently with. I think he's a guy that in Tennessee, he, you know what he is? He's slightly below that third-tier quarterback that I was talking about earlier. The kind of guy that I think if you have everything around him, a great running game, a very good defense, excellent receivers, a very good offensive line, that you can win with. I think he's slightly below that. I think you could win a few games with him if that was the case. If you needed to get through a tough stretch, you'd feel very comfortable if you had a good football team with Marcus Mariota to help carry you through. But the guy that he's slightly below right now is Ryan Tannehill. And that's what that situation is in Tennessee outside the great defense part.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.